can go like this.
Good morning, everyone. It's a true delight to be here with you all this morning. I greet you with Jesus' love. And we bring you warm greetings from our entire church family and our pastor, Dr. James T. Worthy. St. James, make some noise to let us know you're in the house. Type in those comments, I'm here. Thank you so much for joining us today for Virtual Sunday School. If this is your first time, my name is Sharon Wright, and I'm here every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. to share God's Word with you. Please take a moment to hit the share button and invite others to join in with us. Also, as a reminder, you can ask questions during the broadcast by just typing your question in the comment box. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we come this morning thanking you for another day, God. We thank you for life, health, and strength, God. We thank you that we know who we are and whose we are, God. And we thank you, oh God, that you have given us the mindset to want to know you better, God. Oh God, we just thank you that you have given us, God, the opportunity to come before you to learn and to study, God, your word, that we may know how to apply it to our lives, God. God, meet us here in this moment of Sunday school, God. Open our hearts to receive your word. Open our ears that we may hear all that you would have us to hear, God. Thank you, oh God, for using me to teach your people, God. I bless you for this chance and all chances, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, our lesson this morning is entitled, Jesus Seeks Out Zacchaeus. I'm sorry. Found in Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. Our lesson outline is a man eager to see Jesus, Luke 19, verses 1 through 6. And the second half, a man rejoicing over meeting Jesus, Luke 19, verses 7 through 10. Today's aim, facts. To understand what true joy is, principle. To realize that true joy comes only from faith in Christ. Application. To increase in joy by growing in faith. Zechariah's story is truly one of the most memorable lessons found in the Bible. Whether you have read it on your own, heard it taught in Sunday school, during vacation Bible school, or maybe you heard it in a sermon from our pastor, you can probably agree with me that the message that it conveys is very powerful. It's not every day that a self-absorbed, money-hungry man decides to climb a tree and transform his life for the better and reconcile with those who he has wronged. But that's exactly what happened, leading Zacchaeus to salvation and a joyful faith. This kind of change is possible for anyone who seeks Jesus, who turns to him and embraces his teachings. Amen? The first section of our lesson is entitled, A Man Eager to See Jesus. It's found in Luke 19, verses 1 through 6. But let's look at verses 1 and 2. The Word of God says, And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. As the end of Jesus' earthly ministry drew near, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem for the last Passover. He intentionally took the time to pass through Jericho. What do we know about Jericho? I'm going to put it on the screen. In Hebrew, Jericho means moon. It is known as the city of palm trees, Deuteronomy 34:3 and 2 Chronicles 28:15. Jericho was located on trade routes, which made it a wealthy area. It was the first city conquered by Joshua and the Israelites upon entering the Promised Land, Joshua 6. It was a key fortress in the Jordan Valley, Numbers 22:1 and Numbers 34:15. And it was a vital key point for Western Palestine. Jericho was also cursed, requiring the destruction of everything except silver, gold, bronze, and iron, which were to be placed into the treasury of the Lord's house. Joshua 6:24, Numbers 31:22, 23, and Numbers 50-54. Now, the next thing we need to know is, who is Zacchaeus? That's the one on the screen as well. He was a Jew. His name means pure or innocent. He was anything but that. He was the chief publican or the chief tax collector, which meant he had other tax collectors working under him. Tax collectors were responsible for collecting money for the Roman government. But here's the catch. They could also collect extra money and keep it. This led to a lot of resentment, as many people hated them cheating the taxpayers, working for Rome, and being a traitor to their own people. He was also crooked and rich. Being a chief publican meant he made more money than the rest, and he was very wealthy in every way possible. And lastly, he is not mentioned in any other gospel. Amen? Amen. I'll take away for verses 1 and 2 is this. No one is beyond saving. Amen? Amen. So let's look at verses 3 and 4. The word of God says, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. By this time in Jesus' ministry, he had attracted a massive following as he moved from one location to the next, healing the sick and performing incredible miracles. When Zacchaeus learned that Jesus was coming to town, he sought to see who Jesus was for himself. More than likely, he had heard some stories about him and wanted to know more. Here we have a rich man who's a sinner and who's hated by the Jews, seeking Jesus. That's not a common thing, is it? Mm-mm. 1 Chronicles 22:19a says, now set your mind and heart to seek the Lord your God. Are you seeking after Jesus? Zacchaeus was doing his best to see Jesus, but he could not for the press. The word press here means crowd. Due to the size of the crowd, and because he was little of stature, which means he was short, and we don't know his exact height, but it must have been noticeable enough to be mentioned as a problem for him when trying to see Jesus. He may have believed that his height was his biggest issue, but he was about to discover that he's got an even bigger problem than his height. Here's what he did. He ran before the crowd and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus. Do you remember the four men who took the roof off the house to help their paralyzed friend get to see Jesus? They didn't allow that packed, crowded house to stop them from bringing their friend to Jesus. See Mark 2:1-4. Climbing up that sycamore tree tells me that Zacchaeus was determined to get a glimpse of Jesus, no matter what it took to do so. He didn't care about his status or what others may have thought about him. He was just set on seeing Jesus, and nothing was going to prevent him from doing that. Listen, I don't know what you are seeking from Jesus this year, but I have three words for you. Go get it. Stop worrying about how your praise looks to others. Go on and take your worship to another level. Who cares what folks think and say? Focus on what you truly need. The Bible says when praises go up, blessings come down. Go get what you need. Be it healing, deliverance, encouragement, financial support, anointing, or even assistance in discovering your gifts. Or maybe you just simply need a fresh touch from Jesus. Whatever it is, go get it. Amen? Amen. Zacchaeus did what he had to do. He climbed that tree to see Jesus. Your tree may not be a sycamore tree, but you might need to climb over any and everything that's hindering you from going all in with Jesus this year. Amen. Oh, he knows what you need. Yes, he does. But you know what? He's waiting for you to climb above every obstacle that's in your way. Amen? Amen. Our takeaway for verses 3 and 4 is this. Sometimes we only seek a quick look at Jesus, but he desires to share everything about himself with us. And that moves us down to verses 5 and 6. And the word of God says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he, Zacchaeus, made haste and came down and received him, Jesus, joyfully. Zacchaeus' plan worked, and it worked out perfectly after he had climbed that tree. As he sat on a branch, he could see Jesus clearly coming down that street. And when Jesus arrived at the spot where Zacchaeus was sitting, Jesus didn't even need to look up to know that Zacchaeus was up in that tree. Remember I told you last week that Jesus is an all-knowing God. Nothing takes him by surprise. He knows everything there is to be known. The Bible says that God is greater than our heart and knows all things. 1 John 3:20. Amen? Amen. When Jesus came to the place beneath the sycamore tree where Zacchaeus was, he looked up and saw him. Zacchaeus' plan was to see Jesus, but Jesus' plan was to see Zacchaeus, a sinner who was in need of salvation. Mm-hmm. Everyone saw Zacchaeus as a crooked tax collector, a thief, a person Jericho would be better off without. But Jesus sees sinners with an eye of love and saving grace. If you are lonely and lost, guess what? Jesus sees you. Genesis 16:13 comes to mind here. It says, thereafter, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. She said, you are the God who sees me. She also said, have I truly seen the one who sees me? Long before you and I ever became interested in Jesus, Jesus had already had his eyes on us. Amen? Amen. So Jesus tells Zacchaeus to make haste, which means to hurry. Zacchaeus came down out of that tree quickly, y'all. And we know what that tells me. When Jesus gives us a command, we need to obey. It's just that simple. If he say do it, we need to be found doing it. I got some scripture for you here. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive. Why? To obey Christ. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. And the last one I'm going to give you is Hebrews 5:9. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who does what? To all who obeys him. Amen? Zacchaeus took the first step to see Jesus by climbing up that tree. However, Jesus fulfilled Zacchaeus' request to see him by calling him out of that tree. It's not about what we do. It's all about what Jesus will do. When we move towards Jesus, Jesus will move towards us. Amen? Amen. What was the rush for him to get out of that tree? Well, Jesus said, because today I must abide at your house. This brings to mind the lesson taught in the story of the lost sheep, where Jesus posed the question, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost one until he finds it? Luke 15:4. This emphasizes how important each individual is to Jesus, and it demonstrates his commitment to finding that one lost person. Amen? Jesus invited himself into the home of Zacchaeus. I can't recall any place else in the Bible where Jesus has done that. But this shows that Jesus' love is relational, and he genuinely cares for each of us personally and wants to spend time with us at our house. Not just at the church house, but at our house. Uh-huh. It was unheard of for a rabbi or a religious person to go to the home of someone that was seen as a sinner like Zacchaeus. But Jesus frequently pushed back against that kind of ideology to draw people closer to him. This wasn't the first time he did something that others disagreed with. Remember last week when he sat down to eat with the sinners and the publicans, and those scribes and Pharisees questioned his disciples about it? They didn't have enough guts to go and ask Jesus himself, but they asked Jesus' disciples, why was he eating with those sinners? Uh-huh. Jesus told them that they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick do. Mark 2:17. Jesus understood that the tax collectors and those sinners were spiritually sick, and they were in need of a savior who could heal them spiritually. And so was Zacchaeus. The decision to stay at Zacchaeus' house wasn't just a random choice neither. It was part of God's plan, which shows you and I how personal salvation is. Jesus wants to abide at all of our houses. Jesus wants a personal relationship with each of us. Jesus offered Zacchaeus a chance to repent. Turn from his wicked ways and receive new life. In verse 6, Zacchaeus made haste, which means he came out of that tree in a hurry. Uh-huh. When Jesus calls you and me, don't hesitate. Get some quickness about yourself. Move towards Jesus immediately and do it with some joy. Mm-hmm. Zacchaeus didn't linger up in that tree, but he jumped at the opportunity to meet Jesus for himself. He came down that tree quickly and he received Jesus joyfully. The NIV says he welcomed him gladly. Zacchaeus gladly received Jesus' offer to abide with him. Have we received Jesus in our lives yet? If somebody notice our lives, would they be able to recognize the fact that Jesus abides with us? If not, this is your day. This is your day. Today is the day of salvation. Mm-hmm. Because once you welcome Jesus into your life will never be the same. Zacchaeus had a life-changing encounter with Jesus. The joy of the Lord was surely present in a powerful way that day. Yes, it was. Not only had a blind man been healed earlier that day, but now a hated tax collector was being received by Christ. Zacchaeus had no other choice but to be filled with joy, and he was. Earlier, I read the aim for today's lesson. And it said that the fact of our lesson today is to understand what true joy is. Question, Do we truly understand what joy is according to scripture? Well, according to the Bible, true joy is rooted in having a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. See Psalms 144:15. It is not dependent upon short-lived pleasure or happiness that we get every day in life. No. That's not what joy is. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit that is inside of every Christian believer, allowing them to experience joy anytime in their lives, regardless, listen to what I'm about to say, regardless of the circumstances surrounding their lives. See, as we abide in Christ, Christ abides in us, just like it says in John 4:4, and we will experience a peace that goes beyond our understanding. Have you ever been in a situation where it seemed like all hope was lost and everyone around you expected for you to just throw in the towel, to give up? But after you talked to Jesus about what was going on, you felt this incredible sense of peace come over you. And instead of feeling down and defeated, joy filled your heart. Hallelujah. And you knew in your heart of hearts that somehow God would take care of everything. You know why? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah 8:10. And Paul told us in Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Amen? Amen. Here's our application. It's on the screen. As we grow in our faith, our joy will increase. The more we learn about Jesus, the stronger our faith will become. And our joy will naturally rise up, pushing away those feelings of sadness. And we will start to embrace the victorious life that comes with being in Christ. Amen? Amen. Our takeaway for verses 5 and 6 is this. When Jesus calls upon us, it is essential that we respond with enthusiasm and joy. And that moves us right down to the second half of our lesson entitled, A Man Rejoicing Over Meeting Jesus, found in verses 7 through 10. But I'm just going to look at verse 7, because in verse 7, we see the reaction of the crowd. Verse 7, the Bible says, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guests with a man that is a sinner. In this verse, we see the same reaction from these self-righteous folks that we saw last week in Mark 2:16. Zacchaeus may have been rejoicing. He may have been joyful over the fact that he had met Jesus, but the crowd wasn't rejoicing at all. Everybody's not going to be happy when you come to Jesus. Everybody's not going to be happy when you start talking about what God has done in your life. So just ignore that and continue to give God all the praise and the glory. The text said when they all saw it. That phrase "they all" means everyone who was present that day, including the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the scribes, because we know that they are always lurking around trying to trap Jesus in something. Amen? And just like they are always trying to trap Jesus in something, they are always people who are watching you and me. They never take their eyes off us. You may not think they're watching you, but they're watching you because they're waiting for the moment that we stumble or make a mistake so that they can expose it and try to damage our reputation. Amen. These people there that day, they weren't happy at all. They weren't happy about the fact that Jesus was going to Zacchaeus' house. So here's what they did. They started murmuring. They started grumbling and complaining and saying Jesus had gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. That's what they said. The word murmured is also used in Luke 15:2 to describe the complaint of the Pharisees and the scribes when Jesus ate with those tax collectors and sinners. It has the sense of complaining or murmuring out loud. These people did not try to hide their objections about Jesus going to be a guest at Zacchaeus' house. They loudly voiced their objection. You know what they were saying? Why is this rabbi going to the house of a sinner? Why can't Jesus see what kind of man Zacchaeus is? Why would Jesus go to an unclean man's house? And so on and so on. You would think that these people would have had better things to do other than poke their nose into business that's not theirs. But nope, nope. Many people seemingly have nothing better to do. When someone engages in actions they disapprove of, the murmuring and complaining begins. Do something that people don't like, or do something out of order or ordinary that people haven't seen. They're going to start murmuring and complain about what you do. But the truth is, they are not you. And they don't know the reasons behind your actions. So it's probably wiser for them to keep their thoughts to themselves. You know, whenever I witness this or I see it happening to somebody, it always prompts me to wonder why people are so preoccupied with the behavior of others. Now, I get it. I get it. I get that they want to help keep others on the right path. But it's important for each of us to focus on our own faith walk first and allow Jesus to guide others in their faith walk. Amen? Amen. Zacchaeus wasn't bothered at all over those silly comments from the crowd. Nope. All he could think about was the fact that Jesus wanted to stay at his house that day. And what Jesus said was louder than the irritating comments that the people made around him. But you know what? When I thought about this, I said Jesus could have said to some of those people who was criticizing him, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you." You can find that in Matthew 21 verse 31. Now, what do you think about that? That's what Jesus could have said. Uh-huh. At the end of verse 7, the crowd called Zacchaeus a sinner. They were labeling him as a man beyond hope. He was tagged as a loser, a traitor, and a failure. And as far as the righteous people and religious people were concerned, he was not worthy of salvation because he was unclean. When I thought about that, I said Zacchaeus knew who he was. He knew what he was doing. He knew that he was cheating people. He knew that he was living a sinful life. And he didn't need these religious folks reminding him of that. You know, we meet and see people every day who know they aren't living right, who know that they are doing really bad things. But you know what the truth of it is? They don't need you and me pointing out to them what they're doing. No, they don't need us good Christian folk telling them this, that they're doing this and that. They already know what they're doing. What they really need is to hear from us good Christian folks that Jesus loves them. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is ready, willing, and able to save, restore, and help them turn their lives around. That's what they need to hear. So let's stop beating up on people. Let's improve our evangelism skills and start showing love to those who have not come to a saving knowledge of Christ. You know, you and I, we haven't always been saved. And it's only by God's grace that we are. So never forget your journey. Take what God has done for you and use it to help others find their way to the light of Christ. Amen? Amen. Our takeaway for verse 7 is this. Reaching out to those struggling with sin may invite criticism from the self-righteous. Instead of worrying about others' opinions, let's focus on the mission before us. Amen? Amen. And that moves us to verse 8. Verse 8reads, "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." At some point between verse 7 and 8, Jesus went to Zacchaeus' home. We don't know the exact details of what happened when they got to Zacchaeus' house because it's not recorded in the Bible for us. But we can almost say with surety that repentance was talked about. The love of God, the Father, and what salvation meant was talked about. Because in verse 8, we see Zacchaeus had a change of heart. Zacchaeus had built his wealth by cheating others, but now he was ready to make amends. Listen to what he says to Jesus. He said, "Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, meaning wrongly, I restore him fourfold, or four times the amount." See, that statement right there shows and indicates that Zacchaeus had repented. It shows his repentance. You know, let's revisit what repentance means again. As you see on the screen, repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of heart, that leads to a change in actions. This change involves both a turning from sin and a turning to God. Amen? Amen. Zacchaeus had a change of heart about his lifestyle. He decided to return the money he had taken unfairly from others. And he welcomed Jesus into his heart and his home. Turning away from his sins and turning to God is what true repentance looks like. And we see that in Zacchaeus right here. The use of the words half, restore, and fourfold in this verse indicate Zacchaeus' crimes were financial. Being that he was the chief tax collector, he had records, and he knew exactly who he had defrauded. Mm-hmm. Zacchaeus didn't pull out of thin air the number fourfold. No, fourfold comes out of Exodus 22 and God's law of restitution. So after coming into contact with Jesus, Zacchaeus' heart changed and he wanted to do what God commanded. So without hesitation or reservation, the sinful tax collector at that time promises to make things right and make them right the way that God says to do it. Amen. That is a clear reflection of a repentant heart that had been transformed. What really mattered was what was in Zacchaeus' heart and not his actions. We can stick to rules perfectly. We can check off all the boxes in life to show that we are good followers or good disciples of Christ. But guess what? If we are doing it for selfish reasons, we might as well not do it at all. Mm-hmm. Our actions and Zacchaeus' actions didn't earn him or us salvation. That's something only faith in God can do. However, a great way to know if our faith is genuine is by seeing it reflected in how we live and in what we do. Uh-huh. Our good deeds show our faith, but they are not the path to our faith. Amen? Amen. When our hearts are transformed, it will always be seen through our changed behavior. Our actions often, or will always, our actions will always say more than our words ever could. Amen? Amen. Our takeaway for verse 8 is this. The amazing love of Jesus transforms us from within and reflects in all our actions. Amen. Amen. So that moves us down to verses 9 and 10. The word of God says, "And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. In response to Zacchaeus' repentance, Jesus acknowledged it. And he was saved. Jesus declared, this day is salvation has come to this house. When we repent and confess our sins to the Lord Jesus Christ, we too receive salvation. True repentance starts from the heart. Faith is a unique path for each person. Faith looks different for each of us. While we can't see another person's heart, Jesus can, and he saw the heart of Zacchaeus. He saw that he had changed and that he had a new spirit within him and was prepared for salvation. Just as Zacchaeus joyfully invited Jesus into his house, Jesus joyfully accepted this repentant man into the family of believers. If you would have asked anyone in Jericho that day whether they believed Zacchaeus could turn his life around and repay what he had taken from people, everyone, and I mean everyone, would have said, "No way." But Jesus would have replied, "Yes way." Because salvation is always possible for anyone who truly repents. Amen? Amen. Now, the text said salvation has come to this house, which doesn't mean that Zacchaeus' whole house was saved that day. What it means is Zacchaeus' faith could spark a ripple effect, possibly leading to salvation for everyone in his house, including his servants. See Acts 16:31. When we share the gospel with our family, it creates an opportunity for them to accept, believe, and find salvation in Christ. Amen? Amen. Jesus also called Zacchaeus a son of Abraham. What that means is Zacchaeus exercised the same kind of faith in the Lord that Abraham did. And now Zacchaeus belongs to the family of Abraham. In other words, Jesus changed his name from a sinner to a son of Abraham. When a person accepts Christ as their Lord and their Savior, God gives them a new position in his kingdom. It's on the screen. They are now called believers with a new identity. The Bible calls believers new creations in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, which indicates their spiritual rebirth and departure from their former selves. Their new identity also makes them a part of God's family, Ephesians 1:5. And they are now heirs alongside Jesus Christ, Romans 8:17. Zacchaeus is a true believer, a son in the highest sense. And now he shares the faith and works of Abraham, John 8:39. This word must have stung the Pharisees' hearts who prided themselves on being sons of Abraham. They probably were so upset about that, but it was nothing they could do because Zacchaeus was now a true son of Abraham. Lastly, Jesus repeated his purpose in coming to earth. He said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." The crowd was pretty upset about Jesus wanting to go to Zacchaeus' house. They thought it was wrong for him to even talk to Zacchaeus. They believed that only the so-called good folks deserved God's grace, while dishonest people like Zacchaeus didn't have a place in God's kingdom. But Jesus had a different perspective. Mm-hmm. Jesus' mission was to reach out to the lost and to offer salvation to everyone, whether they are good or bad, rich or poor, part of the in crowd or part of the disregarded crowd. Jesus came to offer salvation to whosoever, John 3:16. Everyone who knows they are lost, sinful, and not right with God is who Jesus came to seek and to save. Hallelujah. Zacchaeus was a sinner. He was lost and in need of a Savior. That's exactly why Jesus, the Son of Man, came to earth to save that which was lost. Amen. Our takeaway for verses 9 and 10, faith has the power to guide the lost back to the shepherd. Amen. So in conclusion, I want to read Revelation 3:20, and it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Zacchaeus joyfully received Jesus with faith. Will you? If not, what's holding you back? Jesus knows you. He sees you. And he's reaching out to you right now through his word. He's calling you by name. Oh, yes, he knows your name. And he knows everything about you. And you know what? He still loves you. And he still wants to come into your life as your Lord and your Savior. All you need to do is say yes. Open the door of your heart to him. And discover a faith that will bring you lasting joy. Amen. If you are ready to give your life to Christ this morning, let us know by typing in that comment box on your feed, I want to be saved. And then follow the instructions you see on the screen. Amen. The second thing is, did you know our ministry is global? It's all over the world. You don't need to be living in Rocky Mount to be a part of our church family. We got members spread across the entire United States. And we would love to have you as a member too. Yes, we would. If you are searching for a church home, you won't find a better place than St. James Missionary Baptist Church. All you need to do is to become a part of our fellowship is type in the comment box, I'm ready to join St. SJMBC. I'm ready to join St. James. Mm-hmm. And follow the instructions that you now see on the screen. Amen. Amen. We're waiting for you. Salvation is today. Today is the day of salvation. You see, you feel the Lord tugging at your heart. Accept Jesus Christ today. Accept him today. Amen. Amen. The daily readings are on the screen. Next week, our lesson is entitled Healing 10 Lepers and is found in Luke 17 verses 11 through 19. I pray that you have a great and joyous day, and I pray that God's grace will run you down this week. Amen. Amen. Until we meet again.